I'm Helen Fabian, your audio tutor here with the Alpha Phonics program, and Sam Blumenfeld, the creator of Alpha Phonics. Sam, you've dedicated this tape, the Play Me First tape, for those who are really learning English maybe for the first time, or for tutors and parents who are helping someone else learn how to read. This side of the tape is dedicated to the alphabet.
Yes, there are two parts to learning to read. In the first part, you've got to learn the alphabet. You've got to learn to recognize the letters. And then in the second part, you learn the sounds that the letters stand for. So in the first section of the Alpha Phonics workbook, we introduce our 26-letter English alphabet, printed in capital and lowercase letters. And then we have several pages of pre-reading alphabet exercises, the purpose of which is to help the learners quickly recognize the letters at random.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, children learn to say the alphabet as a poem or song before they can actually recognize the letters. So if you are a parent teaching your young child, go through the alphabet several letters at a time, pronouncing the name of each letter clearly. You know, Helen, there is a very easy way to memorize the alphabet. And that is by breaking it up into rhyming lines like a poem or a song. So would you honor us with a reading of the alphabet as a poem?
I'd be happy to, Sam. All right, let's look in the front of the Alpha Phonics workbook to the page where the alphabet is written both as capital and lowercase letters together. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z.
Perfect.
Thank you. Now, Sam, you have really made a point to separating the W and keeping it by itself. Other alphabet songs seem to put the W and X together and then the Y and Z together.
Yes, and the reason why I do that is because I've noticed that some children, when they learn that alphabet song in which they add the and, some children think that there is actually a letter called and Z. In order to eliminate that problem, I've revised the song and come up with my own version. So if you'd like me to sing the alphabet song in my version, I'll be very happy to do it.
All right, I think it would be very important for us to hear that, Sam.
Okay, here goes. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z.
Very good. I hear what you're saying about clearly keeping those last three letters distinct and not throwing in any other little words in there so that the student would become confused. So what should parents do now? They're going to take the alphabet and one letter at a time, or maybe two or three letters at a time, they'll teach their child how to identify the letters. So at what point does the parent or tutor begin to teach the alphabet phonetically by their sounds?
Well, the child does not have to know the alphabet letter perfect before you start teaching the letter sounds, because the child will be learning more about the alphabet and will becoming much more familiar with the letters as he or she learns the letter sounds. So if the child is sort of, you know, half proficient with the alphabet, you could start teaching the letter sounds.
So even through the exercises identifying the letters here in the pre-reading exercises, they don't have to know them perfectly, but they should be able to distinguish one from the other.
Yes, and I guess the parent has to be the judge, or the tutor has to be the judge of how well the child knows the alphabet before teaching the letter sounds. And incidentally, they don't just have to use the book to teach the alphabet. You know, they can cut out letters from newspapers and magazine advertisements where the letters are in different fonts and different sizes and all of that, and maybe paste them up in a notebook and do all kinds of things. And of course, there are the cereal boxes, as you know, Helen. and the milk cartons where children can identify the letters. I remember standing at a line in a supermarket and the child was pointing to letters on a newspaper, or on one of the, I hate to say it, one of the tabloids, you know, at the checkout counter. But you could see that the child was learning the letters and could identify them. Yes, and identify them.
Now, Sam, you did not mention get out all your little pictures and your jumping jacks and play some games to help a child learn the alphabet. Why do you not include any of those illustrations and the other things that we see so common in pre-reading books for children?
Well, because these extra elements are not necessary, and they can confuse children. If you introduce the letter A with the word apple, well, the child is going to identify A with apple, but that's not the proper identification. The child has to identify A with the letter. The picture is the letter, not the apple, you see.
I see what you're saying.
Because what does an apple say to a child about the letter A? Just that the word apple starts with the letter A. But you don't have to do that. And I have found over the years, as mm-hmm. parents have taught their children to read by alphaphonics, that they have used less and less of any of these gimmicks or pictures and paraphernalia that are usually given with when teaching the alphabet. You know, Helen, I often go into bookstores, children's bookstores, and look through the books that are now on sale for children, particularly in the teaching of the alphabet. And they are lavishly illustrated,
yes,
beautiful
yes.
books. But I don't believe they really teach the alphabet very much. I think that they delay the learning of the alphabet. Mm. But if you want your child to learn the alphabet quickly so that the child can then begin learning the letter sounds, it's best to not use any of that extra junk.
But, you know, I have come to really appreciate the simplicity of what you say and the profoundness of what you're saying, because when you get away from all that clutter and you just focus on the letters themselves, then the child's going to have direct relationship with the letters and the letter sounds much more quickly, and it will become the foundation for everything else that you're going to present in the Alphaphonics workbook, and that is to build a phonetic system, to build a connection between the letter, the sounds of the letter, and then the sounds put together to form syllables and then words.
Right.
So I have come to totally agree with you, Sam, and have thrown out all the other picture books that my kids used to have and have suggested to others that get rid of all the other clutter and just give the children the alphabet.
Yes, let me make one more comment. You know, this nation had very high literacy in its early days, up until, I would suppose, the early part of this century, where just about everybody could read and read very well. And if you go back to the primers that were used by our ancestors, you will see that there are practically no pictures.
Right.
They didn't have all of that in those days, and yet the children learned to read very well. And that's what we have to get back to, because we've lost sight of what is essential in learning to read, and we've just thrown all kinds of stuff into this business, which have no business being there.
What closing thought would you give to parents and to tutors about learning the alphabet?
Well, of course, they're going to learn to recognize the letters, and a good way to help the children develop recognition is to have them sort of draw the letters or print the letters. And, of course, children like to do that in these nice big blank books. Of course, then when they start learning the letter sounds, then you should start teaching them to write in cursive.
And for those of you that are asking, what about the letter sounds? Well, all you need to do is to go to Audio Lesson 1, and you'll discover we present all the sounds of the letters in the alphabet, and you'll really enjoy walking with your student through the Alphaphonics workbook and the complete Blumenfeld's Alphaphonics program. We'll join you there.